Hello, everybody. This is Dane Gentry with the Standing Back Up podcast. Today, I have a special guest, Mr. Paul Zoman. He's a love language guy, and he has a book that he wrote as a best-selling author of. The Role of Love, is that the name of the book, Paul?
Yes.
How long ago was it when you wrote that book?
Just wrote it last year. It actually became an international bestseller last year.
That's awesome, man. So tell me how you got into the love languages, man, how you grew up and all these different kind of things.
Thanks. Great question, Dan. I appreciate you being letting me be on your show. It's really important to me and hopefully it'll be important for your audience as well. I grew up in an angry household, and angry household looks like this, Dan. It looks, there's no boundaries. There's a lot of abuse. There's physical abuse. There's verbal abuse. There's sexual abuse. There's just a lot of kinds of abuse. There's people will talk when you're talking. They'll talk over you. And nobody gets heard. They're critical about everything. You know, I thought when I first heard the word movie critic, I thought that'd be a great thing for me because I'm critical by nature anyway.
Right.
Because that's what my parents taught me. I thought it'd be a great movie critic, but then, you know, just they really should name that something different. They should be someone, a movie recommender maybe, or something like that. But anyway, I grew up in that critical household, and I decided at age 17 that I didn't want that anymore. I decided I'm going to move out. I thought it was the circumstance that really was putting that on me. I moved in with my brother, and I found that my brother had similar issues that my father had. We would stack one annoyance on top of another annoyance on top of another annoyance, and then we'd have a flash of anger. And I didn't want to do that. And I saw my brother do it. I thought, I'm not going to do that when I have children. 8 children later, I'm still doing that. I was still stacking that anger, stacking those annoyances, always annoyed at other people because I hardly ever annoyed at myself, just annoyed at other people.
Right.
And so as I'm stacking those annoyances and being critical of what their faults were or their weaknesses, legitimate faults or legitimate weaknesses, didn't matter. I was focusing on that my whole life. And I realized that, oh, I'm missing a lot of that person. I'm missing the good parts of that person. And to me, as I started to make that realization, I realized that I was focused on maybe 10, maybe 20% of the personality of that person that was faulty. I was missing 80 to 90% of that person. What's right about that person? What could I love about that person? It didn't dawn on me until about 15 years ago when I was dating someone at first marriage ended in divorce. So now I was single 15 years ago, was dating someone, and it's now time for big brother approval. I'm number 10 of 11 children, Dane.
Oh, wow.
Big family.
Big family. Yeah.
Yeah. My grandfather had 19. My father had 11. I only had 8.
Only 8, huh?
Yeah. We're sizing it down as the generations come down. My children are only having 3, Dane. I don't get it. Yeah. I want more grandchildren. How do you do that? And it really points at it. What my problem was that feeling like I had control over what other people were doing. I realized that's a boundary I didn't learn. That thinking I could control or just be critical enough of another person to guilt them or shame them into doing what I wanted to do for them wasn't working for me. And it just wasn't something that engendered love. So dating this girl, I took her for big brother approval, 300 miles north where I live. And first thing that happened, we go in, my sister-in-law pulls her aside and says like this, "The only emotion that the Zoman family learned growing up was anger." At first I denied it. I said, "Uh-uh. Then it made me mad."
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you got mad then.
I just verified exactly what she just barely said. And I realized, this is an opportunity. I can either make it better or I can make it worse. I thought, I've got to change that perception of the Zoman family. And I had that opportunity right there and then. I thought, well, I'll read the color code. I'll read some books and try to get the education that I need. Because I didn't get it when I was younger. My father only graduated from 8th grade. My mother a high school graduate. And I thought education really changes a lot of things in that way. So I thought, maybe I'll get some education. I like the principles of the 5 love languages, but I didn't get it, Dane. From where I came from, didn't make sense to me. You mean Dr. Chapman, if I guess what Dane's love language is and cater to that, Dane and I are going to be buddies. I'm a really bad guesser. Wasn't working up until then. The other thing that Dr. Chapman has in his book, he says, if you take this survey, you'll find out what your love language is. Well, okay. What the heck am I supposed to do with that, Dr. Chapman? Advertise? Hello, Dane. I'm gifts. What do you have for me today? Right. It was just so awkward. I did not want awkward. I'd already been doing awkward. You know, I was the guy, Dane, that was like the guy in the swimming pool. He has an accident. Everybody's scattered. You repel people when you get angry. And I was repelling people like that person in that swimming pool. I wanted to draw people to me. I wanted people to come to me unabated, just on their own, and just kind of develop relationships. But instead, I was repelling people with this anger issue, the stacking and of the annoyances and having those flashes of anger. I wanted to overcome that. So that's basically the background why I wanted to learn about love. And I settled on the five love languages, just the principles. Neither one of these applications were working for me. So I thought, well, maybe I can make a different application of this. And even as dysfunctional as our family was growing up, we played games. And those games brought us together. So what I thought, well, what if I made it a game? And I contacted Dr. Chapman, asked him, are you licensing those little icons, the little pictures that you have for each one of the love languages? And after a couple of weeks, his attorney wrote back and said, no, we're not doing that. And I thought, well, I've got a copyright attorney in my neighborhood that I know is a friend. I'll run the idea by him and see what he has to say. He said this. He said, theory, like the love language theory, is not copyrightable. Application is. So they weren't doing it as a game. So I made my own icons and made it into a game. And the game is just this. It's real simple. It's a cube.
Okay.
On the cube, what I'm showing you right now is two hands put together, just for your listeners that can't see it, mm-hmm. Two hands put together forming the heart, which is really common nowadays. Taylor Swift does it. Yeah. But from that formation, that heart formation, there's a little conversation fly up. So this icon represents the words. People that like words like the compliments. They like to hear I love you. They just like the words, and they light up when that happens. The next one is a hand holding an hourglass. The hourglass represents time. That's when people just like to hang out. My wife loves this love language. She just loves to watch Korean dramas. You can't even talk. You got to read the captions. I don't speak Korean, so you just have to read the captions. Just hanging out, just being there with her. She loves time. Next one I'm holding up looks like a server in a restaurant holding a platter. Represents service. People that like service or have that love language like their car washed. They like the carpet vacuum. They like the trash taken out. Like dinner on the table at a certain period, certain time of the day. Next one I have is a hand holding a gift. That's pretty self-explanatory. But gifts to me is kind of the umbrella love language of all the love languages. You could give a hug, which is the touch right there. You could give a hug as a gift. You could give a note as a gift. You could serve or cook dinner for someone as a gift. And you could just spend time with someone as a gift as well. So those are the five love languages. That's how I got into it, because I needed it. I needed that, solve that problem, that generational problem, not genetic, but a generational problem that was passed down from my parents. Who knows where they got it and how long it had been going for generations. I needed to stop that behavior, turn a new page and just transform. Within a 30-day period, Dane, this changed my life. I was able to change the focus. And you probably know, and many, many people that have ever had any addiction know that to get out of that addiction, you have to have a substitute behavior. This was my substitute behavior. 2 seconds that it took to roll the die in the morning set the theme for the day. I'm watching for opportunities all day long. So there's just two instructions. You roll the dice every day. Whatever it lands on, that's the love language you practice giving away all day that day, all day to everybody. I was single when I created it. I said, and Dr. Chapman's book's more romantic. I said, Dr. Chapman, I don't have a significant other. Who in the heck am I supposed to love? Then I thought about it, said, oh, I just get to love everybody.
Everybody,
and,
yeah.
And it worked for me because I don't know, Dane, anybody that is with their significant other 24/7. Some people don't want to be with their significant other 24/7.
Yeah.
But this worked for me because I needed to develop that habit of loving all day long to change that other habit. Watch for what's right about that person instead of focusing on their faults or weaknesses.
That's what we do in life anyway, is we focus on negative. We see something negative, or me, I'll speak for myself, and that's most people.
Well, I think we're doing that way.
Yeah, and we pointed out because my childhood wasn't great. There was no abuse other than mental, I guess you would say, or maybe emotional because I didn't get any. My mother was an alcoholic and addict as well. But there was not a lot of love nowhere in my family. No one hugged. Very rare did anyone say, I love you. And so I struggle in the affectionate side of love. And trust me, I'm married and I get it all the time. You know, I get in trouble all the time because I don't do these things. So I'm very, very intent on this conversation with this because I think it's going to definitely do me some good. And I know most of my listeners are the same way because most of them are recovered addicts or people who are still in recovery. And so it's awesome to have you on, man. So I'm enjoying this a lot. I'm going to learn a lot from this.
Thank you, Dane. And it's really a pleasure to be here too. I really think that this is something that you can, it's so easy. It's so simple that people might skip over it and say, yeah, it's not going to do a thing for me, but it changed my life from day one. Just focusing on opportunities to love rather than opportunities to hate or to demean or to be critical of another person, that opportunity to lift that person and to make that person have a better day. So as you're rolling this dice, what you're watching for and practicing giving this love away, you're watching for people that light up.
Right.
When they light up, Dane, what you've discovered is their primary or a secondary love language. No longer do you have to say, excuse me, Dane, could we pause this relationship for a moment while I have you take this survey so I know how to love you?
Right.
You don't have to do awkward anymore. We're done with that. Use your observation skills. Watch that. And when that person lights up, you just want to take a mental note and wash, rinse, repeat for that person. You'll light up 3 to 10 people in a day as you're going around for that love language that you're practicing that day. The next day, it's going to be different. You'll light up people in that genre of love, and you're just learning how to send love out. Second thing that happens for this, Dane, is that it really closes that communication gap that most people have.
Yeah.
According to Dr. Chapman, I absolutely agree with this. Most people will only respond to their primary or secondary love language, what is most important to them. This gives you that peripheral vision so that you can see it all because you've learned it all. You know all it by giving it away. Now you can see it when it comes your way and respond accordingly. If someone's loving on you and it's not your primary love language, you can say, oh, I see they're sending love my way, but it's not my primary. But I know it. I know they're really trying to send love to me. You can respond to that.
Right. I see what you're saying now. Yeah. My thing is like with my wife, she is, I guess as people say, wears her heart on her sleeve. You know, she is a lover of people just in general. And the way that she loves me and the boys and all these things is unlike anything I've ever experienced and witnessed in my life. And early on, it was like, oh man, this is fake. You know, nobody can be this open to love or love this much, let me say. And like I said, you know, I was an angry man. I lived with a lot of hate and different things for a long time. You know, when you go to prison that long, you develop that. I mean, it's part of it because it's just such a cold world. And I've been sober for a while now and I grow every day. But just this weekend, we had a deal to where I wasn't maybe catching on to what she was trying to say in a love way, if that makes any sense of what I'm trying to say here. And so all these little things are things that I'm going to take notice to this game, this little cube, that's for sure. And another thing I'm thinking on as you're speaking is, you know, the more love we put out, the more love we bring in, and it's positive energy. And so I don't see how it can be anything but good all the way around, because the more positive we put out, the more we get in. Yes, we need to be recharged ourselves. I understand that, but the more we're doing that, and that's what we need in the world, man. We need more love and kindness and compassion for others.
I agree, Dan. You know, as you're working with us and sending it out, you're trying to send this out without any expectation that's coming back to you. And we all need to be recharged, as you'd mentioned. We do need that recharge. But most people will get a kick out of, and a charge out of, making someone else's day. When you make someone else's day, it makes you feel good too.
Yeah.
You're not looking for the payment, but you're just trying to make other people have a better day. When you give it out without any expectation, you're trusting the laws of the universe that were in place before you or I were ever born. Right. The law of the harvest would be one, karma would be another, law of attraction is another one. All those kind of say the same thing in a nutshell. It's whatever you send out someday is coming right back to you. Why would you ever be critical and send out hate or send out just despising people? Why would you ever send that out? Why would you choose to do that? Because guess what? It's coming right back. And do you want them to look at your faults? Mm-hmm. Nobody wants that.
No, definitely not. Yeah. Mine. Because, man, you start looking at my faults and we're going to be there all day.
you have a lot of stories, a lot of good stories, I'm sure.
Man, you know, it was a ride, man. But, you know, I looked at myself, not that I was better than anyone or anything like that, but I knew there was more to my life than that. I always knew that. I always knew I was different because I had a heart, man. Even though I tried to play the tough guy role, you know, and all these things. But you just mentioned karma. You know, I'm a big believer in that karma, and that's what I'd always think about. You know, you're kind of put in a situation, no matter how good of a person you are in there. You have two choices, man. As I say, you got to be a man or a mouse. Which one are you going to be? And you can't be a mouse. And it's very sad. It shouldn't be that way. But you take the average compound, it's 1,500 people, and there's a whole lot of angry men there, you know, and a lot of bad men. I mean, let's be honest about it. You know, my crimes were drug addict crimes, typical forgery, theft, and those kind of things. But still, I was amongst murderers, rapists, all these things. And the whole vibe in the place was just horrible. And I was so cold when I got out. Man, I don't ever want to experience that again. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started changing there, and I started having this heart. And so that's why when I read your profile first, I was like, yeah, I've got to have this guy on. He's going to teach me a lot of things about love. And because I do okay at it, you know, but then I still have the moments, you know, why this? And so
it's tempting. It's always tempting to do that.
It is, man. And you know it's wrong, and you know you don't want to do it, and then you beat yourself up for it all day long. So why not roll the dice in the morning and start on a good day? Start on a good note, I should say.
Yeah, set the theme. Set the purpose for the day that you're determined to love all day long. When you're doing that and developing this habit, Dane, there's some other things that happen too. It really is, it develops a literacy that I think is lacking in the world right now. That we're really kind of illiterate when it comes to sending out love and the way we receive it. We think it's a business transaction. Like if I want a hug, I'm going to send a hug out. And it's just, that's, if you reduce love to a transaction, it's really not love. That's a business.
Right.
And it's, so if you're expecting reciprocity, if you're expecting something to come back because you're giving it away, if you're expecting to come back, you're expecting a transaction. We really need to move away from that type of mentality and just give it out just without any expectation. It takes it's kind of fearful. It's like almost jumping off a cliff because you're sending it out, not knowing how it's going to be received, not knowing if it's ever going to come back. Just send it out. And it's more about who you are, Dane. It's more about who you are and the character that you have, the determination that you have to send love out all day long. But that's the only thing that's about you. All the rest of love is about them. What is it that's going to make them light up? When we have that focus on them, we're not going to be in that little whiny voice and say, well, I told you how to love me. Why aren't you doing it? You know, don't you want to get to that whiny voice, because it doesn't do any good. You could sit in your house and wait for love to come to you, or you can walk down the street. You're going to be waiting a long time. It'd be like prison. I mean, you're going to be in solitary confinement for a long time if you don't get up out of your chair, walk down the street. There is someone in your neighborhood that is lower, feeling lower than you feel every day. There's pain under every household. If you can go and alleviate just a little bit of pain every day from these people, send a little love out and alleviate that pain, send that healing influence out, you're going to have a better day. They're going to have a better day, and you're going to feel be a better person because you decided to be that better person.
Yeah, I see people all the time who are just so angry, you know, out here, not even in prison, who just, whether it be someone cut you off in traffic or got in front of you in the grocery line, you know, and all these things. And if you get in the social media thing, you get caught in a realm of these videos that show all this stuff. And that's what I was trying to tell people. That's all you're feeding yourself. Hmm. You're feeding yourself nothing but all this negative stuff. And you don't understand the energy of that. And things like this is what we need more of. And I say this all the time when I see something good, something like that should go viral, like what you have, because it's love, man. It's what we need. We don't have it anywhere in the world. We just don't. You know, we see somebody, whether they're homeless or whatever, on the street, and we walk on by them and don't give them another thought. I don't do that because I've been there and I understand that, you know. And at the end of the day, no one chooses to do that, in a sense. I'll say it, in a sense, they don't. Yes, they chose to do the drugs or whatever it is that they've done. But, man, they're caught in a cycle that they can't get out of. But with some love, they can. And for me, you know, I was a gang member and all these things. And so when people hear me talking that way, they're like, man, where's all this love coming from this guy? You know what I mean? I'm a God guy. You know, I'm a spiritual guy. I'm not really a religious guy, a religion guy. But anyway, and that love is what transformed me. And so
I can tell, and I feel it in your voice. I feel it in your presence, and I can see it in your face. You've got a serenity about you, Dane, that most people don't. They haven't gone through what you've gone through, or gone through trials that I've had in my own life. They've gone through their own trials, but they're not to the point that they're trying to turn the switch off on the negative parts. Even when I was trying to get over this, I made some statements like this. I don't want to be angry. That's not a goal. That's not going to help you. Those are a double negative, Dane. And in math, a double negative works. You can multiply two negative numbers together and it becomes a positive number.
Right.
Doesn't work in relationships. No. Absolutely doesn't work that way. You can't send out negative and expect positive to come back someday. You're planting a seed bed for that negative to come right back. We don't want to do that. We got to stop it.
We do. And it's a lot of relationships, you know, my relationship including, you know, I've done a lot of wrong. You know, we've been together a long time and she was there through a lot of it. And she's an angel just for that alone, you know, and used to, like, I would get angry when she would bring something up. But then I realized, man, she had all the right in the world because I went and worked on myself, you know, what I mean? And got better. She didn't. She was still at home, caught up with everything that went on, you know, and then she started getting help for it too and brought in love. And today things are amazing, but I still fail at certain things. Self-centeredness, I think maybe, I kind of get caught up on that a lot. And I think that's with more love, I get that out of me. But I try to start my day every day on a positive note. I try that. I don't always succeed at it. You know, I don't have the greatest days every day. But today, the majority of days I do. And that's because I just refuse to let all that junk come in. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I can't change anything about yesterday. The only thing I can change about is today and tomorrow. That's the only thing I can do. And go ahead.
I think that's a really important point that you said that you couldn't change anything about yesterday. But it goes just a little bit farther. We can't change anything about that other person too. All these people that I was getting annoyed from, I was thinking I could change them. And that was part of the angry culture that I grew up in. I thought I could change them. And it's not my lane. I stay in my lane. I realized from this whole experience, Dane, that I can't even bid someone to love me. I can't help someone to send love my way. What I can do is send it out and educate myself enough so that I can respond when it comes my way and respond in appropriate ways as well. So that's the education piece that we really need to stay in our lane and send it out and watch when it comes our way and respond positively when it comes our way too.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people talk about that, you know, taking time to respond the right way. But the more that we train ourselves and our mind and our brains or whatever to respond the right way, I think it becomes easier. I was the same way. I only had one way to respond with anything that I didn't think fit in my world, we'll say. And that was anger, and I didn't want to deal with it. But what I found out with that is that the real reason I was doing that was because I didn't want people to see. I was just a scared little boy in the reality on the inside, because the real world scared me. Love scared me, because I didn't want to be hurt. I felt, you know, I was abandoned, whatever, all these different things. And so I would push away. And that's what I was doing. It was because I was scared. It wasn't necessarily the other person. It was me. And I had to realize that, you know, that's the reality of it. A lot of times when we're responding in a certain way to people, it's really what we have going on.
Exactly. And that could be their anger that they're sending over to you as well. That there's something that happened before that moment that they became angry towards you. It's not necessarily of the moment. You know, what I found in my process, Dane, that really worked for me, a couple of things. One is, if I could describe what behavior I was having at that moment, and I actually developed a spectrum from angry on one side, love on the other side, where on that spectrum was the quality, what would be an adjective or a descriptor of what kind of activity I'm doing right there at that moment. If it was closer to the angry side, I try to think, well, what would be the opposite of that? Just take, for example, patience on the loving side versus impatience on the angry side. Another example would be sarcasm. Sarcasm to me would be on the angry side. Well, what would be the opposite of sarcasm? And what comes to my mind is somebody that would be genuine,
right,
authentic, somebody that's true blue. And when you put sarcasm and authentic and true blue on the table, what are you going to choose? Most people want to be authentic. They want to be genuine in whatever they say. When you can dissect it and have that self-actualization moment, then it's the only time that you can actually make progress toward where you want to go. You just say, what behavior am I expressing right now? Find a word that describes it, then find the opposite of that word. It will help you understand where is that activity on the spectrum, so that you'll be able to make the changes you need to move to that loving side. It worked fabulous for me. Just work with the opposites. We have opposites all around us.
Right.
Use that to your benefit to make that heal for you and also heal for others. When you're sending this love out, it's going to heal people. That's what we are. We're healers of other people. And as we're healing other people, just like Jesus did, we're saving ourselves. One other thing about Dr. Chapman, he was a Baptist preacher. And he said that these five love languages that we just talked about, five love languages actually were things that Jesus did in his life. So I did my own little fact check, and scripturally, Jesus, he touched people. He touched people's eyes so they could see, their ears so that they could hear. We absolutely love his words. He paused. He spent time with people. In fact, he was 4 days late after Lazarus passed away, 4 days late to get to Lazarus to raise him from the dead. He just took time with people. You would think that would be an emergency. Mm-hmm. He obviously served people, and then he operated with the gifts of the Spirit. So if we can reconcile to these love languages, in essence, we're actually following Jesus Christ. And I'm a Christian myself, and I think that that's really what attracted me to that, the whole idea, the principles. Like right. I said, the romantic side of it wasn't working for me, and Dr. Chapman's suggestions weren't working for me. This rolling the die provides the variety that you'll need in your life. It's not like taking the survey and put you in this box. Dane, if you're in that box, from Dr. Chapman's theory, I would have to feed you tacos every day of your life, every meal of your life, because I know that's what you like. I'm going to feed you tacos every day of your life. This is different. This provides that variety that you're going to get different kinds of love from your loved ones and sending that out. And by doing that, you're just going to have, it's going to be a more fun. You know, somebody told me the other day, when you make it fun, it will get done. I just, they came up with that. I thought that is perfect. We made this fun, made loving fun, and it's going to get done just because we choose to do it every single day.
Yeah. And also I think, you know, I call it being stale or whatever, when you've been with someone for so long and maybe the romance is not there as it was, it's still there and you still love them the same, or some people say, well, you're not in love with me. I think this also could help us with that as well. Because like you said, it's fun. It's something that you will do together. You can do it with your kids, do it with whoever you do it with. But I'm thinking right now of me and my personal relationship and what's going on. And again, like I said, I've been failing on some things, man. And so I'm very in tune to this because I feel that God drew me to you. I'll say that now. And some other people are coming on too. But because this is an area that I need to grow in, because I work in addiction. Okay. And we have a sober living home and we're doing all these things. I'm getting into speaking, and that's the message that I want to bring, is love. That's all we need, is a little bit of love, because that's what changed me at the end of the day. Of course, it was God first, but it was Beth, my wife. Okay. She loved me, man. How she did it, it's a God thing. She's an angel, you know what I mean? But that love is why I'm still here today, without a doubt, because I became suicidal. I never was a suicidal person, but I came suicidal in the end of my addiction. I was tired. I had enough. I couldn't stop. But what I found out is that it wasn't that I couldn't stop. I wouldn't stop. That's the whole thing. So I'm on this thing now with people saying I can't. Yes, you can. You can. You can't because you won't. And that's the reality of it. Opiate addicts always use the excuse where they're going to be sick a little bit. Saying, yes, you are. And you're not the only one. You know, I wish I could tell you that you're not going to be. But with love and kindness and all these things, we'll get you through it, man. And that's what I need to be better at. I need to walk the walk. Let's say it that way. Every area of my life, because I used to be very angry in traffic and all these things too. And I'm from Nashville. And in case you don't know, it is horrible here now when it comes to traffic, man.
I've been there.
Oh my God. It used to not be that way. You know, I seen that guy Jethro, he did a thing and said, where did all you people come from? You know, I don't know where they came from. And I'm not one of them people. Come on, you know, let's have more people here. But it can be very trying on you. Let's just say I'm great at it now. My wife, on the other hand, man, she has a bad day every time she drives, bless her heart. But I feel like sometimes it's like where she's helped so much in with me and the boys, and we have a son's in the Marines, and 18-year-old, of course, he don't know what he's going to do with his life. And she's trying to be fix it all because she's mother bear. So I feel like sometimes she just holds everything in and then lets it out here. But when she lets it out, sometimes it's like, let's reel that back in a little bit. But this will work for her too, you see, because she'll start.
I tested it with a family of five children, Dane, and it's kind of a funny story. The youngest one was 4 years old, and one day they, as a family, they rolled it individually. So they didn't roll it one thing for the whole family, but they rolled individually in the family. One day he rolled physical touch. He's jumping up and down, pumping his fists, saying, yes, physical touch, 4 years old.
Okay.
Immediately goes to beats up on his brothers. He thought it was permission to beat up his brothers.
Oh, no.
And he was excited for that day. Now it's my turn. And, you know, his brothers obviously must have sent love out in that way.
Yeah.
Or he thought it was love because he knew they didn't hate him, but were just beating on him. So he thought it was his turn, but it was so the mother had to suppress all the laughter because she didn't expect that.
Yeah.
Suppress that laughter and say, no, son, this high five or the fist bump or develop a fancy 10-step handshake or a hug, that would be appropriate physical touch. So it becomes a teaching moment for that child. Now, I'm testing this in schools right now too, Dane. And in schools, I'm starting with K through 6 right now. Mm-hmm. So they're rolling it at the beginning of the day. It takes less than 2 seconds to roll the die. The teacher might take 30 or 45 seconds to say, class, this is the type of behavior we're looking for today. And so at the end of the day, what happens is I've given the teacher a PDF of a journal page that has what they rolled, opportunities they saw to love in that way, and what they did about those opportunities. So at the end of the day, that student, that 6-year-old or 9-year-old, has to write what they did, what opportunities they saw to love that way, what they did about it. And then the teacher does a check mark. The great story she might hold over and read at the front, at the beginning of the class the next day. And so at now that student, that six-year-old, is now responsible for their own actions.
It
took me until age 35 to realize I got to stop blaming my father for all this anger and all these things that I'm doing right now. My father had been dead 7 years by the time I was 35 years old. I was still blaming him.
Yeah.
I had to stop that, that blame game, that victim mentality, stop that and realize, oh, I'm responsible. It was one of the best epiphany moments that I've ever had in my life. I just realized that I'm responsible for my own actions. If we can teach these kids at a young age that they're responsible for their own actions in a loving way, and at the same time, teach them all five love languages so that they know them backwards and forwards, they're going to be better junior high or middle school people, high school people, college people, and people in general. They're just going to have a basic learning, that those basics. What I found after doing all this, Dane, is that I found instead of stacking these annoyances that I had and having that flash of anger, now I'm stacking kindness on top of kindness on top of kindness. And it's getting me to a higher level of love. These are the basics. These are just a high water or a low water mark. Everybody needs to know all five love languages so we can see it when it's coming our way and we know how to give it away. As we stack those kindnesses, though, it gets us to charity and compassion and mercy and forgiveness and trust, intimacy. It'll get us to these higher laws of love, that you've got to have these kindnesses. If you want excellent intimacy in your wife, in your life, you've got to have stacked these kindnesses throughout the day for that to be happening. And, you know, it's just going to get you to a better place by stacking the kindnesses rather than trying to stack the annoyances.
Without a doubt. And you know, just like a loving text in the morning to your wife, mm-hmm. you know, that does so much. Or sending some flowers, and I'm awful at that too, but these little things, and I work on them, and it's a practice, and it's just like this. And I'm telling you, everybody that's going to be listening to this is going to be gaining so much if they'll take time to listen to this, mm-hmm. because it's just we've been talking for 37 minutes, and I'm having all these aha moments, aha, aha. And just then the one I had was the self-blame or the blaming game that you mm-hmm. was talking about. When it comes to sobriety, that's the number one thing you have to do, is stop blaming everybody else. Mm-hmm. I could sit here all day and tell you it was everybody else's fault, the reason that I was the way that I was. However, I have a brother that's 6 years older, came from the same exact place as I did, same mother. We had different fathers, but he's successful, has been successful for a long time. And so, and that's one of the things I would look at. I'd be like, man, I'm keep blaming my mom, because my mom was this, my grandparents wasn't really in my life. My dad wasn't in my life, and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, every problem that I've ever had in my life was my fault, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. I have no one to blame for anything. I wasn't sexually abused as a child. I wasn't physically abused as a child. Yes, I was told a couple of times I would never amount to nothing, but that was because of the way I was leading my life at a very early age. I started at the age of 11. Started getting high at the age of 11. So yeah. I had an accident. I got hit by a truck. But I was already smoking pot and drinking like a grown-up at this age, because I was hung around older people. Wow. And so that's the reason why people told me that, was because, man, here you are 11 years old and you're passed out drunk. I mean, who does that? You know? And so that's what they were saying to me, was, you stay on this path, you're never going to be anything in life. And they were right. But you do start believing that stuff. Yeah. But you still go back and blame them for it. So you have to come to the realization, no, it's Dane's fault. The police didn't put me in prison. I can promise you, they've never arrested me one time when they didn't have no reason to.
Yeah,
I'm not one of them people. I'm for the police. You know, people sometimes trip on that as well. But hey, they saved my life. Mm-hmm. The last time I got high, I died. And the Nashville Police Department brought me back to life. They had to use Narcan five times. They tell him to stop after two. The guy wouldn't stop. He said, I refuse to stop.
Wow.
So, you know, so I wrote him a letter from jail. I went to jail and I wrote the guy a letter. And that's when I knew I was changing too. But like mm-hmm. I said, but it's all about love. See, that guy had love that day. He mm-hmm. had love for somebody that he didn't know. You know, I was just in a lot of people's eyes, just a piece of junkie. You know, that's all I was. But that guy refused to let me be that. He saw me as something else. And that's what we have to do as people as well. And that's how I try to live my life today. Yeah, you might see somebody as just being a very angry person, this, that, and other. But what I see is they've got something else going on, man.
No.
And let's try to – what people don't realize is just a simple, how you doing today, what that can do to someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have a genuine interest in them. And you don't say, hi, how you doing, and just walk right by. Just wait for the answer. And I think that we really need to put the brakes on a little bit and have better relationships in that way. Take the time to spend time with that person and find out what you can do to help make their day a little bit better.
Yeah, we're so caught up in our phones or in ourselves. There you go. It's a self-centered, and that's another thing that goes back to addiction. I have never met an addict who's not self-centered and selfish. That's two things of some people call it a disease, some people don't. I'm not going to debate that, but I will say that you can find 99% of the same thing in every addict. That's what I can say. And that's a big one, that selfishness and self-centeredness, because I was horrible at it, because I was a big guy and I was a tough guy and I was in prison and, you know, I'm this, that, and other. But like I said earlier, at the end of the day, I was just a true little scared little boy of reality.
Yeah.
And I'm better at it today as far as the self-centeredness, because I don't look at myself as being somebody. I am somebody, don't get me wrong, but I'm just another person who needs to show others the way.
One thing about this, Dane, is that really makes people come alive. We don't see these people as objects anymore. We see them as a person. It doesn't matter what gender they are. It doesn't matter what sexual orientation they might have. It doesn't matter what color they might be. They are a person, and there's value in that. This doesn't see black and white. Doesn't sees full color. Everything is in color. And when you look at people in that way and make them valuable as they are, as they should be, they're another human being. And we don't need the diversity culture. We don't need any of that because of who you now are, looking at people as real people and just acknowledging that they're worthy of love, regardless of what they're doing. They're worthy of getting love in one way or another. And why not you? Why not have it be you sending it out to them?
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, we do get caught up on, especially, you know, the media and the race thing and the sexual thing. And all that is hate. And that's, you know, we took God out of everything first off in America. And now in America, that's all we have is a big old curtain of hate and anger all the way around. And we wonder why things are so bad when we could change it with something so simple. And that's love.
You know, and the simplicity of this is a tool. The carpenter has their tools. The electrician has their tools. The mechanic has his tools. There are not many love tools out there, genuine love tools that will help you. This, as simple as it is, has been just a tremendous help to me all day, every day for several years. I got this copyright in 2017. I've been rolling it every day since that time. It really has changed my life. My whole disposition has changed. I always look at people with those loving eyes. What is there to love about that person? What is the story behind that person? Everybody has their story. I want to hear that story. And I've got a assisted living facility just a couple blocks from my home. So I'll go down and those people are just really, really neglected. A lot of people are not even visiting them. And so I'll go in, I'll play puzzle with them. Now, I love puzzles. I grew up doing puzzles myself, and I'll even hand them a piece and put this one over here if they're struggling, and so they can participate in the playing puzzle too. And it's just really kind of a fun thing. But while I'm playing puzzle, you can talk with them and you can ask them, have them tell your story. In fact, I talked to a guy that's 88 the other day, and he was having a hard time getting around. So I took him and he and his wife needed to have a ride to the hospital. So I took him to the hospital. I said, what you need is a little electric bike. I've got an electric bike and I mostly ride it down there to go visit with them. And I said, you guys need electric bikes, or how about a motorcycle? And he lit up. and he started remembering his life that he had a motorcycle, and he's awesome. in that part of the facility that's really assisted living, not independent living. So he lit up about the motorcycles and just started remembering something of his own life and started telling me about that. And it just, that's what we're here for. We're here to light them up.
Without a doubt. That's something right there. It's so amazing. Cause I say this to Beth all the time. Do not put me in a nursing home. And she's like, I never will. And I was like, please don't do that. Because she used to go and visit a lady for someone else. The lady's daughter lived in another state, and just asked, and Beth would go over there, and the lady would barely even acknowledge Beth being there, but Beth would get so much joy from this. I mean, she would drive an hour to go do it, and she would sit there for 15 minutes or whatever. But after time, the people got to where they didn't want Beth there because she was pointing out a lot of stuff that they were doing wrong. And even when COVID hit, Beth would go and sit outside the window, and she would sit out there and wave and talk to her. And we need more of that. Yeah. And that just shows me again, just how amazing of a human you are to do that.
It's not about me, Dane, and let's not make it about me. It's about whoever you are, deciding who you want to be and the kind of person that you want to be. And there's so much hate. Choose another route. There's so many people to love out there. Just send it out. It'll come back.
It will. And they need it, man. You know, I needed it, and God knew that I needed it. That was without a doubt, you know. Not that my mother didn't love me or my grandmother didn't love me. I needed to see that unconditional love. And when a person sees that, it does a lot for them. I don't care who you are. You can sit there and act as though you're just this big, angry, this, that, or the other. You want love. You need it. And, you know, it's a fuel for your soul. And when you finally get it and start feeling it, it's amazing. And you'll never forget it. You know, whether or not these people that you see, no, in my mind, they know and they remember you and they look forward to seeing you, because people have a spirit about them, or as some people want to say, like when you walk in a room, people are going to get that from you. And that's what we need too, because a lot of things are fake in the world. And we see a lot of these smiles and people come up shaking your hand. To me, I can point it out. I can tell you you're fake in a matter of 30 seconds of talking to you, because you know why? Because I was fake for a long time. Yeah. And I know all those signs. And I had a guy tell me, I make little videos about God. And he said, God is fake. People are real. And it ticked me off at first, but then it kind of made me laugh. And I sent a little video back and I said, you know, I was fake as fake could be. And I only became real when I found God. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, that's the problem with the world today. You know, everybody looks at everything else as being fake. So you think God is fake. Try God, give it a chance and see what happens.
Dan, you'll like this word. You know, you've heard of karma and you've heard of nirvana, but it's from the same dialect. It's called the Sanskrit dialect in northern India. One other word that we've incorporated into our society is called namaste. You know, they put their hands together like this and they say namaste at the end of a yoga class. And then they just bow their head, close their eyes. And what it means is that the Hindu interpretation of namaste means the God in me sees the God in you. Or in other words, the divine in me sees the divine in you. And I think that that's very appropriate with what you're saying right now, that we need to see the God in other people. We need to see the goodness that other people have. If we can do that, they're going to have a better day. We're going to have a better day. Hopefully it'll spread from our neighborhood, from our house to the neighborhood, to the community, to the county, the state, the nation, and then the world. We need to be those people that start it and be like Johnny Appleseed, so to speak, plant those seeds of goodness. Instead of saying you're no good, you're not going to amount to anything. My father had that phrase. He'd hold up my son above his head and shake him like this and say, you're no good, try to make him laugh and that sort of thing. He didn't realize that just planting those seeds of you're no good is going to be really detrimental to them. We need to have better words and polish our words and polish the love that we send out, so it really feels like love when they get it.
Without a doubt. And you said you've taken it into schools. Is it something that you offer to all schools, or is it on a trial basis right now for school?
So what it is, and I'm looking for corporate sponsors, Dane, just for the cost of the dice. And then at the end of the month, if the child has written at least 15 times, written the journal and passed it in, if they've done that, then they'll get, I've got one corporate sponsor here, they'll give them 5 ounces of yogurt for free. Okay. And it's a little certificate. If they do it for 25 days, which is almost the full month every single day, they'll get 10 ounces of yogurt for free. So I'm looking for corporate sponsors for the coupon or whatever it is in that way, and the corporate sponsors to buy the dice. What I'll do for the teacher is I'll send them a free PDF that they can print as many as they need for their classroom as often as they need. They can print it. And what the teachers are doing is they'll do it, just do a check mark at the end of the day that Johnny did it, Susie did it, and the check mark, send it home. The wise and astute parents will then collect those, put them in chronological order at the end of that first grade year, and they'll bind it or something to keep it together so that now Susie has a journal of their first grade, or Johnny has a journal of his third grade. It's a love journal that they started at that young age, and now they've got it. I would have absolutely loved to have a love journal of my first grade teacher. It was so much different than being at home. I still remember her name till this day, Mrs. Rogers. I don't remember second, third, fourth, or fifth, but I do remember sixth. But just having a journal of, why did I love Mrs. Rogers so much? Why did I love going to school? And she was elderly to me. She was ancient, because she was probably in her 60s and was near retirement. I think she retired a couple of years after I was out of first grade, but she was just so kind and just so, must have been a grandmother that I'd never had or that I never wasn't associated with, but she was just so kind to me. It was a stark contrast from what I had growing up. I love that. I wish I would have had a journal about that. So I would provide the PDF for free to any teacher, homeschooling person, anybody that wants that journal PDF, if they want to keep track of how they're loving every single day. It's going to be something that they can pass on for generations. I wish I had one for my mother or my grandmother. Instead, Dane, I got a journal about the weather. The weather 60 years ago. Who cares what the weather was like 60 years ago? Yeah. Tell me what there was to love and how you did it.
I agree with it. So how can our listeners find it, man? How can they get a hold of your product?
They can find it at rolloflove.com, and it's a play on words, Dane. It's ROLL is what you do outside of you. You can't much change the circumstances. Sometimes you can, but you can't much change the circumstances. ROLE is what changes within you. So ROLEoflove.com is where you'll find my book, you'll find the dice, you'll find the journal. You can buy them in a package for a lot less than just one therapy session. $29.99 is what special is right now, plus shipping, and it'll come right to you. And that's the special we have on right now. The giveaway for the show is that journal page. That if you want to start journaling, I'll send the PDF to you. Just have to contact me through that.
That's awesome, man. I mean, it to me, $29, man. I mean, no money stock for a lot of people, but it'd be well worth it for sure. Because it changes everything, man. I mean, let's just think about it. Everything that'll change in your home and the whole atmosphere and the energy. I'm on this energy thing, man. I've got a lady I'm going to talk to about energy, and I kind of got into the energy a couple of years ago. I started looking into it, and to me, it all goes back to faith, really, at the end of the day. That's what it is. It's faith and positivity and love comes in there. So I'd recommend anybody going to get it. I'm going to buy one. I can promise you that. We're going to get one. We have a friend who is a principal at one school, and we have another friend who's a teacher at another. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send them an email out and get them to watch the show.
Nice.
And hopefully they'll get in touch with you and get some things, because our schools could definitely use it. And start them young, man. Start them young. And there's no reason not to.
Well, I think it's going to tamp down a lot of the ideas that the kids might have, that violence is okay. They see it on TV, that it's okay on TV. They think that it might be okay. It's not. And this moves them from that angry thing like it did for me. It moved me from being angry and thinking I had the ability to manage other people's lives. It moves it from that to the realization that I better manage my own life. I better be responsible for my own life and then start loving in that way. What kind of life? Decide right now. What kind of life do you want to send out there? What kind of life do you want to have? Whatever you want to set, whatever you send out is the kind of life that you're going to get.
Without a doubt, want it loving,
send out love.
Without a doubt, man. I agree so much. And I want to thank you again for coming on, man. Have we covered everything here, buddy? Anything else?
I think we got it. I think
all right.
You did well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I look forward to speaking to you again anytime. If you have anything come out, just let me know. I'll get you back on. Like I said, we'll be in touch. I'll send all your information out, man. Try to get some people to get your product.
Sounds great. Thank you, Dan. All right, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob. See you next time, buddy. God bless.
All right. See you too. Bye-bye.